Welcome to coaching session number 7. By now, we've spent considerable time together. Hopefully, we've identified some problems. We might not be done yet. And hopefully, we've at least begun to form a strategy and a plan. These online sessions are designed, obviously, as supplemental to our interactions together, either online or in person. And they're primarily designed to provoke thought. As I told you at the outset, this is a process and we're about exploration. We're trying to unearth some things, discover some things, hold the diamond up and look at it from a different angle. Today, I want to talk with you about questions, dialogue, progress. How will we know where we are? How will we know if we're making progress? What will success look like? Can we measure the results? These are all great questions, and there are many other questions equally great. Great questions spark great dialogue. And out of great dialogue often come great answers, great solutions, or ideas that lead toward solutions. Leaders who ask great questions at the appropriate time and foster dialogue with the right people can elicit innovation, progress, and improvement. It's not an innate skill, although some innate traits, I think, can lead to higher execution of the process. Great leaders, though, learn how to accomplish these things either by trial and error or by having capable mentors. But before I dive into these three components of leadership, questions, dialogue, and progress, there's one foundational skill that's required: listening. Better said, active listening. Let me talk with you about active versus passive listening. I'm a pretty simple guy, so I don't lean toward complexity. I mean, fact is, I shy away from complexity and I aim toward ways to break it down into simpler, easier to understand segments. So, if you will, permit me to do that here. Passive listening is pretty much what most of us do most of the time. Well, unless we're hearing impaired, we hear what people say. It's not a function of physical ability to hear. The words enter our ears and we discern what's being said. Well, we may or may not fully understand or discern what's being said for one of two reasons. A, the talker isn't being very clear. And that clarity can be verbal, that is, they're mumbling and we really didn't catch the word, or they're not being very clear in that they're just failing to express themselves. Or B, we're not familiar with the vocabulary. You've been in those conversations where people are talking and they're using terms that you're completely unfamiliar with and you can't follow the conversation because those words aren't in your vocabulary. Passive listening is characterized by us listening with one ear. I mean, that just simply means we're only partially listening. Yeah, the sound is entering both of our ears, obviously, but we're paying so little attention we miss the import of what's being said. Sometimes we might ask the person to repeat what they've said, and we're feigning that we really want to catch it, which I guess is partially true because we simply didn't hear it the first time. Active listening is engaged listening. We're not distracted. We're paying close attention. Yeah, when's the last time you did that? Active listening involves more than listening, though. Active listening is watching facial expressions and body language. It's watching other participants as the conversation is moving around the room. It's picking up on the verbal cues and the intonations. Active listening is observant. Passive listening is communication failure. If you're not going to be an active listener, you may as well not be involved in the conversation because you're just a warm body. Passive listening, in my opinion, is worse than absence because it's physical presence. It's hypocrisy because we appear to be there, but we're really not there. It's physical presence, but it's absence of attention. And relationships are destroyed by passive listening. At work, at home, anywhere. So permit me to urge you, encourage you, persuade you, compel you, coerce you to devote yourself to active listening. And it's going to take practice. It's going to demand consistency. You're not going to be able to pick and choose when you're going to be active and when you're going to be passive. If you take that approach, you're not going to be able to fully develop your active listening skills. So let me give you a word of warning. Pay attention. This means electronic distractions have to be eliminated as much as possible. Now, I know it's not always possible to avoid our iPhones or our iPads. Well, not altogether. But you can avoid them as much as possible. Can you blast out, just an idea, can you blast out a text message prior to joining an important conversation? I'm not talking about casual social conversation. But can you blast out a text message prior to joining an important conversation and type this? For the next 20 minutes or however long it's going to be, I'm in a conversation where I can only be interrupted by emergencies by texting me 911. So if a text arrives with a 911, then you glance at it and you know you need to address it and maybe even leave the conversation. But you see a text and there's no 911 at the beginning, you ignore it. Otherwise, my advice is put your device in airplane mode and don't turn it back on until your conversation is over. Okay, have you ever walked into a store? You've been at the counter, you're fully prepared to pay for a purchase, you've got your wallet out, and the store phone rings, and the clerk answers the phone and ignores you. How did that make you feel? I am fanatical. I can't emphasize fanatical enough. I am fanatical about customer service. And I don't mean I'm bent toward it. I mean I won't put up with poor service. And I don't mean indifferent service. I don't mean complacent service. I mean those are bad service. I won't make a scene, but I'm going to find a way to express displeasure. And if possible, I'm going to try to find a leader who's responsible, who can correct this behavior. So I just want to arm you with that knowledge. Because here's how the above scenario hits me. Standing at a counter, wallet out, ready to pay for something, and the clerk dismisses me to answer the phone. And here's what I'm thinking. I'm right here. I drove here to make this purchase. I walked into this location. I'm here physically. You need to focus on the customer who's going to buy something, not the person who's calling on the phone. Yes, I know phones need to be answered, but over the priority of doing business? Listen, the company needs to have somebody who can answer the phone. And I realize they may be putting this one poor lone worker in an awkward situation, but my attitude as a customer is don't spurn me when I'm standing right here in front of you. Do you feel like that if it happens to you? Then how do you suppose people feel who are talking to you face to face and you're checking your phone? You're on your iPad, and I don't mean taking notes, by the way. That's right. They feel slighted, just like the person trying to make a purchase. They feel like they don't matter as much as the person on your phone or the person on your electronic device. And you know what? They're completely right. They don't matter as much. You're making sure they know they don't matter as much. So, if you're going to do that, I want you to enter those conversations. If you're not going to put your electronic device away, then here's what I want you to say the next time you go into one of these conversations. I just want everybody to know that during our conversation, I'm going to be checking my phone and my iPad because those communications, they might be more important than anything you're saying. And I just can't risk missing out on something more important than you. Oh, you think that's rude? Well, maybe, but at least it's honest. I mean, it's more honest than what you're doing when you're constantly checking your phone in front of people. Listen, the world is filled with passive listeners, just like the world is filled with average people, average leaders, and average results. Remain average if you want to, but that's not why we're here. We're here to be remarkable. We are here to be extraordinary. And that means we're going to have to abandon the habit of passive listening, and we got to start being active listeners 100% of the time. Okay, are you going to get that perfect? No. But you need to aim for that ideal of 100% of the time being an active listener. Okay, let me dismount from the pulpit and leave that sermon just ringing in your ears. And let's talk about QDP, questions, dialogue, and progress. Questions. Can you ask better questions? Well, sure. You know, that's almost always possible. Now, unfortunately, we don't often put in the required work, because constructing great questions demands forethought. Now, we like to fly by the seat of our pants and blurt out questions as we think about them. No, go back to listening, because so often we fail to ask great questions because we can't keep our mouth shut and hear what other people are saying. Sometimes we fail because we didn't prepare at all for the conversation. We entered it cold or not even knowing what was going to be discussed. Have you ever seen a person who asked a lot of questions in a meeting, and those questions were mostly aimed at making them appear to be engaged or smart instead of trying to make progress? Sure. Mark it down. It's a person who knew they weren't bringing much profit to the conversation. Okay, don't be that guy. Prepare. Now, let me clarify this. Preparation doesn't mean study. Sometimes we have dialogue that erupts in a moment. Okay, nobody prepared for it in the traditional sense of preparation. So when I say prepare, I don't necessarily mean study. I mean being prepared to engage in meaningful dialogue. And that includes, but isn't limited to, eliminating other distractions so you can practice active listening. Having a working knowledge of the conversation points, the discussion points. I mean, why else be in the conversation? A willingness to get the necessary facts. Remember what we said in the past about a 70% of the information being able to provide us sufficient data to make a good decision? Patience to let the dialogue unfold. Okay, as much as is reasonable. Discipline to help keep the dialogue on point and moving forward toward progress. You know, not chasing down every little bunny trail and letting the conversation erupt into a million different directions. These are all elements of what I call preparation. And if you lack any of these and some others, you will kill effective communication. Well, what questions can you ask to get to the point, to refine the point, or to clarify the problem more fully? Let me give you an example from my days as a CEO of a luxury retailer in Dallas. Our clients were residents of one of the top five richest zip codes in all of Texas based on income. And we regularly would make deliveries to multi-million dollar homes to obviously very demanding clients. Well, my delivery manager began to encounter a problem when I had implemented a fast 4-hour delivery. Seems our delivery crews were often arriving at a client's house completely unaware of some of the particular challenges to the delivery. For instance, on one winter day, the delivery team was attempting to deliver and install a large Sub-Zero refrigerator. Now, the only way into the home was through a front door up about 60 concrete steps with about a 30-degree grade, and there was ice. Well, you know, the delivery team consisted of two men, a lead driver and a helper. We had a number of these teams out and about. But there's no way two guys, well, unless one of them is the Incredible Hulk, we're going to successfully make this delivery. The manager dispatched another team to the customer's home, giving them four guys. But now that delayed the delivery an extra 20 minutes, and it threw off the second delivery team. It threw them off of their delivery schedule. Well, this evidently had been happening for about a week or so by the time news hit my office. The delivery manager told me, he recited to me the conversations that he had been having with the store manager, and they'd been working together to try to solve this problem, but neither one of them felt like they were making any progress. And so I made a trip to the store to visit the sales team. Now, an impromptu stand-up meeting in a quiet place in the store away from customers, I gathered a few salespeople at a time, and I asked them about this problem. And I simply said, tell me what you guys think the problem is. I identified the problem, and then I asked them what they thought about it. Well, they began to tell me what their conversations were like with their customers. And one by one, you know, they chimed in and I listened. And it was the usual storytelling that goes on in such conversations. And finally, I asked them, tell me what questions you're asking the customers when you get delivery instructions. Now, we commonly would find out if we had to enter through a front door, a side door, a rear door. We would find out if there was a housekeeper or a person in charge that we needed to get in touch with. And, you know, there'd be other finer points of the delivery like that that we would try to find out. So I asked them, said one salesperson, I asked them, is there anything abnormal about delivery to your house? Well, the rest of the guys, I just stayed quiet, and the rest of the guys looked, and they all began to nod their head knowingly, like, yeah, yeah. And the rest of them chimed in, confirming that, yeah, they pretty much did the same thing. They thought they were asking the right questions. Now, I knew they weren't, because I knew the problems our delivery teams were facing in the field, and I knew the frustrations of the delivery manager, the store manager, the delivery teams. Most importantly, I knew the impact that this was having on customers. Not only the customer being delivered to, but other customers where a truck might be pulled off of its route to go and bail out, you know, the initial team. And so I asked them, do you think there's a better question you could ask? I mean, who wants to admit that anything about their situation is abnormal? And what does abnormal mean anyway? I mean, to the customer who has 60 steps in front of their house at a 30 degree grade, that's normal for them. But that presents serious challenges to us when we're delivering a product as heavy and bulky as a Sub-Zero, not to mention the potential risk to our guys and the risk to the product and the client's property. Well, they stared at me for a minute and they thought, and it was pretty clear to me that here's the boss engaging them in this situation, and that they just couldn't think of anything better to ask. It wasn't that they were stupid people. These were bright people. These were, in fact, I dare say about half of these people were six-figure earners. These were not low-paid clerk kind of people. And so I knew it was now a teaching moment. And it began as a discovery to gain clarification of what's going wrong here. Why are we getting this wrong? And now I felt like I knew what was wrong, and so I needed to give them a solution. And so I said, instead of asking them, is there anything abnormal about your delivery, how about you ask them to describe how will we need to enter your home to make this delivery? And that way, I said, they'll give you details and you'll be able to drill down to get even more details. For instance, in the case of our 60-step client, the customer might say, well, you're going to have to come in through the front door, and we've got quite a few steps from the street. And that should spark a new question. Well, describe those steps. How steep are they? About how many steps would you say there are? All of those are great questions that can help us deliver great service. Immediately, the problem was solved. Both the problem and the solution were the result of questions. The problem stemmed from asking poor questions. The solution was born from asking better questions. And thus was born a philosophy, by the way, that I incorporated into my professional leadership from that moment on, and this was many years ago. And it was simply this, and I have lived by this motto ever since. The quality of our questions determines the quality of our business. And I've not found any organization yet where that mantra does not apply. I don't care if we're talking about a nonprofit, if we're talking about service businesses, if we're talking about product-based businesses, it doesn't matter. If leaders can ask better questions, things can be improved, problems can be solved, and ideas can be generated. Dialogue. Sometimes questions are asked for effect. Sometimes they're asked even when we know the answer. You know, it's that age-old attorney mantra, don't ask a question unless you know the answer. But here we're speaking about problem solving. We're talking about improvement. We're talking about innovation. That means we need dialogue. Okay, we're not using questions like a trial attorney might. We are truly trying to discover something or generate ideas and innovation. And our mission isn't to look like we're the smartest person in the room. It's not to make sure everybody knows we're the boss. No, here in this context I'm speaking about, our mission is to get to the crux of the matter so we can move forward. Just here, let me interject some thoughts about failure. Failure. Dialogue is often stifled because of fear. People can be intimidated to engage, and I mean fully engage in meaningful dialogue, because there's not enough security in the conversation. Usually, an organization's culture for mistakes or failure permeates throughout all the activities within that organization, and this includes the dialogue that goes on. If you're in a culture where mistakes and failures are magnified and celebrated, but successes are taken for granted, then you've got big problems in today's competitive world. There's a link here to a Forbes article about allowing employees to make mistakes. But you can find hordes of similar writing that express the same idea. I just wanted to give you a taste of one. I'm reminded of a story of an employee that made an expensive mistake, but the boss said that employee, well, he's now far too valuable to fire. The boss knew the employee had learned a lesson so valuable that the company could ill afford to part with him. Now that's a boss who gets it. And I venture to suppose that the employee grew to become a spectacular contributor too, because he had learned a valuable lesson. When we're engaging in meaningful dialogue, as opposed to casual social kind of conversation, which by the way has its place, we need to hear from people who have the most to contribute. Most often, that's the people in the trenches. Now, they may be the folks the least likely to be comfortable in such a conversation. Don't turn it into a third degree interrogation. I mean, you start peppering them with questions and you're going to get people who learn to be as quiet as possible, or they may grow to be defensive. Either way, you're not going to make any progress. Now, you need to hear from the people most valuable to the conversation. That doesn't mean others aren't included, but it does mean that you have to make sure the most valuable people are contributing most. For instance, I could have included my accounting staff with my delivery problem. I could have included the merchandising group too. But that's not where the problem was originating. It was originating at the point of sale. I knew that because of what the delivery manager had told me and what our sales paperwork didn't say. We wrote out these delivery instructions, and so I could just take a casual look at some of the problem deliveries and notice that, okay, this, it doesn't say a word about it being a really long stairway from the street to the house and at about a 30 degree grade. So I went to the people who could tell me what I needed to know, the people with the answers, our sales team. Progress. Now, this is not singular. Progress can be as varied as the topic, whatever the topic of conversation is. Maybe progress is simply identifying more fully the problem at hand. Maybe it's fostering an atmosphere for brainstorming, coming up with ideas. Progress can be solving the problem right here, right now, like I did with the delivery problem, or it may mean we just need to make a single step toward improvement, toward resolution. You have to define the progress. In my delivery example, progress was defined as we need to fix this problem so our delivery teams will stop being blindsided by these situations that they don't plan for. You need to be able to identify and quantify the progress. And everybody in the conversation needs to know what the standard is. You don't want people to leave, and you've done this. We've all done it. You leave a conversation and you're thinking, what was that all about? You don't want people leaving a conversation wondering, what was that all about? Because you've been in those. We've all been in those conversations. And not only are they a colossal waste of time, but they create tension and unnecessary curiosity. And here's what that does. People leave wondering, what was that all about? And they read things into things that may not even exist, and it distracts them from their work. Where is the value in that? There isn't. Stop it. Well, here's the conclusion. Let me give you some thoughts to help spark even more ideas. And I'm just going to give these as bullet points, and I hope that you'll think about these. One, know why you're asking the questions, why you're having the dialogue, and why you're trying to make progress. Why are we even trying to fix this? Put your existing questions on trial for their life. Don't keep asking the same questions if you're not experiencing new problems. Okay, you need to get bored with problems. You need to want to face new problems. Don't keep repeating the old problems over and over again. Pose questions that have a completely different perspective. When asking what if questions, and I'm fond of those, what I'm not fond of is asking the questions and never answering it. Demand that if people are going to ask a what if question, that we answer those questions. Watch people. Don't just hear what people say. Listen to how they say it and how they look saying it. And by the way, watch people that aren't even talking. Watch how people react to what is being said. Clarify the discussion so everybody knows exactly why and what. Provide a safe environment for sharing ideas, thoughts, and possible solutions. Hint, this is really valuable, so pay attention. You don't have to shoot down or destroy bad ideas. Just because you're the boss or the leader doesn't mean that's your job. In fact, I'll go you one better. It's nobody's job. Just thank people for keeping the conversation moving forward and solicit more discussion. Why bosses feel the need to shoot down an idea is beyond me, but it's very commonplace. Or bosses sometimes feel the need to enlighten somebody on why that idea sucks, why that idea will never work. Well, that doesn't profit anything. If you do that, stop it. Instead, choose to lead. And by doing that, well, by shooting down an idea or trying to make sure that everyone knows you're the smartest guy in the room and why that idea sucks, you may be stifling the person who clams up. They've got a terrific idea, but now they're just too scared to share it because, well, hey, we just saw you shoot down this guy. I don't want to be that guy. If the dialogue results in or is intended to result in a solution, make sure everybody buys into the result as progress or improvement. When I ended my impromptu meeting with the sales staff and I asked them, do you think that that would work better? Immediately, instantly, you could see light bulbs go off, and to a man and a woman, they all said, oh yeah, it's a much better way to go. Think. Pre-think, post-think. That is, think beforehand and even afterwards, think again. And if you'll do these things, I promise you, you'll enjoy more profitable, more meaningful, and more efficient conversation that will move your organization, your department, your team forward faster. See you next time.